speaker is Tingji Lin from Princeton University. Tingji is a doctoral student working on population health, right?
Thank you and welcome. First, I want to acknowledge the contribution of my advisor, Professor Scott Lynch, and I have no relationship to disclose. Okay. So today, I want to talk about the application of multilevel methods to a special topic in public health, the contribution of obesity to non-fatal occupational injury. Obesity is often suggested as a risk factor for occupational injury, but a few empirical studies have found a linkage between the two. And in my mind, this is not because the theory is incorrect, but this is probably because the method employed by these studies are not doing a good job in controlling the unobserved differences. So today, I want to show you how to properly control for the unobserved differences, which basically requires use of panel data and multi-level methods. And I want to confirm my viewpoint by comparing the result between the conventional logistic regression and the multi-level methods. So a brief introduction. In short, occupational injury is not deadly anymore, but it is costly. It costs about $85 billion in the US, estimated by the CDC. And obesity is a risk factor because studies found that with increasing weight, people have poor balance, have poor health, all of which may contribute to the risk of sustaining injury at the workplace. However, very few empirical studies have found a linkage between the two, and I think it's due to lack of control of the heterogeneity. So what do I mean by heterogeneity, and what do I mean by unobserved differences? Well, in plain English, it just means unmeasured factors. And typically, these unmeasured factors have a huge influence on the outcome. And here, in our context, it is the incidence of injury. Why do we care about this? Because in observational studies, we can pick up a very few number of variables, such as age, sex, or weight. But we never know what we observed between the two variables, such as, for example, obesity and injury is true, or the result has been mediated by a third unmeasured variable. So in this slide, I will show you what would happen if we ignore the unmeasured factors. Here, the left-hand side, yi, is the incidence of injury. It is 1 if a person I sustained an injury, 0 otherwise. And we use logit outcome. We use logit link because the variable is binary. For the right-hand side, I want to distinguish between the xi and the ai. Here, the xi are all the measured factors, such as age, gender, weight status, etc., including the constant term. And the b represent the coefficient for these variables. And the ai is not a constant term. It represents all the unmeasured factors that may have an influence on injury, such as, for example, risk-taking genes, personalities, or, for example, injury experience in childhood. And in general, the higher the effect, the higher the influence of AI on injury, the more biased the estimates B will be if we don't control for the influence of AI. Okay. So the next question is it really possible to control for or account for the influence of the unmeasured factors? Unfortunately, in cross-sectional study, we can do very little about it. But in longitudinal data, with some appropriate multi-level method, we can control part of the unobserved differences. Specifically, if we are using fixed effects model, then we can control the unmeasured differences that is specific to individual eye, but stable over time. For example, personality, risk-taking genes, or some childhood experience that you think may influence the incidence of injury when the person become an adult. And from now on, I will just call these factors as stable factors or stable characteristics. But the tricky question remains, how can we control for the AI if we haven't observed them at all? Then this is the beauty of the multi-level methods. Okay. Here I lay out the mathematical backgrounds, which is the same, almost the same as two slides ago, except that In a subscript, there are I and T, because an individual I is measured at different points of time T. The XIT still represent all the major variables, such as wage, weight, or age, sex, etc. And the AI still represent all the stable unmeasured factors. The basic assumption here is that AI exists, that is, heterogeneity exists, and also AI differ by individuals. Otherwise, there's no need to use multi-level methods, just use the regular logistic regression. Okay. Then the essence of multi-level methods is about how they deal with the inference of AI. So the first approach that I want to talk about is called random effects model. This approach assumes that the AI, the unobserved term, is a random variable normally distributed across this population, and the AI is uncorrelated with all the observed variables, the XIT. And here is the important result. If heterogeneity really exists, and if the heterogeneity really behaves as what the random effects model suggests, then it can be shown that the estimates from the logistic regression is not only biased toward zero, but also inefficient. So with a high standard error, the logistic regression estimates have a larger p-value, and hence less likely to reject the hypothesis that obesity has no contribution to non-fatal occupational injury. Okay. I will show you the difference between the two approaches later on. Then there is another approach to deal with the unobserved terms. It's called a fixed effects because it assumes that the unmeasured factors is a fixed parameters for each individual instead of a random variable. And this approach allows for an arbitrary correlation between the AI and all the observed XIT. Okay. The beauty of this model is when we estimate the coefficient B, all the AI, all the stable factors will be conditioned out. This is a remarkable result because the estimates actually tell us that the treatment effect B is free from or is independent of all the inference of the stable factors, such as personality, genes, or some experience in childhood. And because of its ability in eliminating all these unmeasured factors, the fixed effects model has been used extensively in econometrics and other branches of social sciences, but I haven't seen a lot of its uses in the field of public health. Okay. Here's the empirical result. I'm using the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth. I believe it is conducted by the Department of Labor Statistics. And it consists of about 12,000 of representative US young men and women. But for this study, I will focus on just the males because some selection issues of the females. And the study starts from 79, and from the 88 to the year of 2000, it administered a injury module, which will be the period on which my study is based on. Okay. I will go over the measurement quickly. So the outcome is a 0-1 variable. It is 1 if an individual has sustained an injury at the workplace at time t, and 0 otherwise. And for BMI, I will just use, for weight, I will just use BMI because it's not perfect, but it's the only available measure in this survey. For BMI, I broke it down into 4 categories because I want to see a dose-response relationship between obesity and injury. The 4 categories are those with 35 and over, and I break down those with those between 25 to 30 into 2 groups because there are a lot of cases clustering around 25 to 27.5. The cutoff is arbitrary, and use another cutoff does not affect the final result. I also take a 1-year lag value of obesity because I'm using obesity as a predictor for injury. Okay. Next, I also try to control the job characteristics for 2 reasons. First, this variable is not stable over time, so I need to control for it. And secondly, sometimes injury at the workplace is not resulting from obesity itself. It is resulting from some risk task required by the job. So how do I do it? I'm used a data called the Dictionary of Occupational Titles compiled by the Department of Labor. Well, basically, the experts in the department assessed 42 dimensions of skills or tasks required by the job. And some of these dimensions has been suggested as a risk factor for injury at the workplace. For example, strength. It has been suggested that jobs require more physical strength have a higher incidence of injury. So in the US, the most physically strenuous job, as we see, is fireman and fire protection, not surprisingly. And the second comes to garbage collectors. Okay. Here's another example for the use of DOT, finger dexterity. Physicians rank the highest, not surprisingly, because they need to conduct surgery. And the second comes to painter and sculptures. Okay. So when I run the regression, I put all the 42 dimensions into the equation along with other demographic controls and certainly the obesity to measure the linkage between obesity and the incidence of injury for this particular but a nationally representative cohort. Here's the major result. First, I compare the result between random effects model and the regular logistic regression model. Remember, if they're in the presence of heterogeneity, then the regular logistic regression, the estimates would be inefficient, leading to a higher standard error and has a higher p-value. As we can see here, those in blank compare in red compare the p-value between random effects and a regular logistic regression. All the estimates for the logistic regression have a much higher p-value because of its higher standard error, okay, which confirms our viewpoint. And second, as I mentioned earlier, the logistic regression estimates may be biased in the presence of heterogeneity and biased towards zero. And here, our result is also confirmed. All the estimates from the logistic regression are smaller than the estimates from the random effects model. So this example tells us the importance of accounting for the influence of the unmeasured factors if there really are heterogeneity in a population, which I think is true for this cohort. So in this slide, I'm comparing the result between fixed effects model and the conventional logistic regression. Remember, the beauty of the fixed effects model is that it can control for all the unstable but unmeasured factors. So if obesity is indeed a risk factor for injury, then we should be able to observe a much stronger association between obesity and injury when we are using fixed effects model than when we are using the logistic regression. And our result is pretty much confirmed. Look at the estimates for the fixed effects model. First, all the estimates are highly significant, and secondly, all the odds ratio are with a larger magnitude than the estimates from the regular logistic regression. So, and here is the full result. Okay, but I don't have much time to present all of them. So to wrap up, heterogeneity or unobserved differences is the worst enemy for all empirical researchers. And unfortunately, cross-sectional data can do very little about it. But with panel data, we can control part of it. Especially if we are using fixed effects model, we can control all the stable characteristics. Okay. But it is always good to trust the result from multi-level methods. Not necessarily, because as we know, all the models, statistical models, rest on unrealistic assumptions. For example, in random effects model, it assumes that the AI, the unmeasured factors, are uncorrelated with all the observed variables, which I think is highly impossible in all empirical studies. And for fixed effects, although it can eliminate all the inference from unmeasured factors, it only uses information from those observations that have experienced a change in outcome and the and the predictors. In other words, the fixed effects model uses a very small subset of the sample. So for the inference from the fixed effects model to be valid, we need to assume that the regression structure between those who have contributed to the result, sorry, those who have contributed to the likelihood is the same as those who have not. But this is certainly an assumption we cannot test empirically. Here's some resources for the multi-level methods and the papers that have used the dictionary of occupational titles. And, there are a lot of papers that have utilized the NOSY data. I'll be very happy to take questions. Thank you very much.
I know you had a slide on this, but was there a dose effect response, and did it start at 25, BMI 25? I know the slide was up, it just got down too quick.
Okay, let's go back to the slides. Is this one you are referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, the dose response effect is most obvious in a fixed effects model, which have accounted for all the stable characteristics. Yeah.
The fact that it occurs overall, though, I mean, it's a pretty strong effect.
Yeah. If the fixed effects model is right. Yeah.
With your sort of statistical analysis and more to do with one of your introductory slides said that the question that was on the survey was, have you had an injury or illness within the past year? So are there other questions within the survey that allow you to say this truly was an injury versus an illness? Because if somebody had been exposed and they ended up having a heart attack or something at work, but that was related to the obesity. So are there additional questions in the survey that allow you to identify for sure injury as opposed to illness?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How did you handle those who were unemployed?
For those who have, yeah, that's a question that I haven't thought about. yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And another question is the relationship between BMI and occupational injury risk. I think, based on my sort of intuition, dependent on the occupations. It's unlikely to say BMI has a major impact on injury risk for physicians or office workers, but might be more pronounced among those neighbors and blue-collar occupations.
Sure.
Did you look at the data by stratifying according occupation groups?
Yes, I did, sort of. In general, those in the blue collars have a higher rate of injury.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any way to control for the at job experience for those blue-collar occupations? Because we did some work many years ago in Baltimore, municipal workers, basically garbage collectors and public workers and so on. The job, at job experience is a very strong predictor of injury risk.
Sure.
And that's not a fixed sort of factor. If you use the fixed effect model, it won't account for that kind of unmeasured confounding.
Sure.
I just wonder if you have looked at that issue as well.
Yeah, the NOSY have data on job experience. I'll put that on later on. Yes, it has been injured once. To do that, there's another covariate that controls the number of private injury in the data sets.
I'm sorry, so if you were injured more than, it's a cross section. Was the unit the person or was it the injury?
Oh, the unit is a person. Then about 15 to 20% of this cohort have a sustained injury at the workplace. And I do have a, I do keep a count, and I have count the number of injury or prior injuries and use it as a covariate in the regression.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Smith.
I was just clarifying, so you said the path that then lies, the injury and illness were combined?
I'm sorry?
Because the outcome measures about injury or illness, whether you combine both or you could separate injury from disease. Because in the survey, the question you presented as the subject were asked whether you had any injury or illness related to any job discussed.
Yeah, but I need to make sure. But my impression is that it does focus on injury because the survey goes on to ask what kind of, on which job did you get your injury? Yeah.
The reason I say that is because we did a paper, one of my students did it for his doctoral dissertation using NLSY and looking at alcohol consumption and injury. And I'm almost 100% sure that he was able to look at injury. It might have only been certain years that they asked the injury question. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to send you the paper if you give
Sure.
I haven't looked at the paper.
Sure.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
More the speakers.